This is Mark Langdon's Bets Club.
Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. As always, plenty to get through. We've got Mark's best bets for all of the Premier League action. We'll be welcoming Dan Charles to talk us through the EFL. And of course, looking back on the football we've seen in the last week. Mark, how's things?
Been better, Jack. Been better on the wrong end of a FA Cup upset for the not so mighty Spurs. I was feeling good up until the kickoff at Bramall Lane. But I'm sure we'll get into the FA Cup in a moment. But yeah, I mean, Tottenham do dictate most of my mood. Yeah.
I was hoping I'd catch you in a good mood today, Mark, after Spurs' win at the weekend, but they've managed to dampen it. And why don't we start there? 1-0 defeat to Sheffield United.
What better place to start? We were just talking before we came on, Jack, about how good Ndiaye is for Sheffield United. Scored a great goal, was on the bench, and looks like a player that I think if Sheffield go up will thrive in the Premier League, and if they don't, might have to sell him. I mean, yeah, it's a great result for Sheffield United. Barely had a moment of sweat, really. I don't think Fodderingham made a decent save in the entire game. He didn't have to. They made 8 changes because they've got this big game coming up in the Championship on Saturday, and still look pretty comfortable against a much changed Tottenham. But well done to Sheffield United on going through. From the Spurs point of view, Spurs fans are angry this morning, angry at the team selection. Not prioritising the FA Cup is something that has annoyed Tottenham fans under a number of managers, actually, because this obsession with trying to finish in the top four just seems to grow, and at the expense of everything else. I think more people would have been accepting that they rested players for the Wolves game that's coming up on Saturday. The team still should have been good enough, and attitude wasn't great. But I think enough of these players have had long enough. And Richarlison, big disappointment. I mean, that barely gets spoken about. He cost what, 50 million? He hasn't scored a domestic goal this season. We're in March now, he was given his opportunity as the number nine and flopped. So, a bad night for Tottenham fans.
One to forget to Spurs fans, and a night to forget for Southampton fans as well. The biggest upset of this round, Grimsby going to St Mary's and beating them 2-1. And the worries grow for Southampton.
Yeah, I suppose really you go for the old concentrate on the league, and staying in the league is the most important thing. But, getting beat by a League Two team at home,
that's not going to help the confidence, is it?
Definitely not. I mean, Kyle Walker-Peters said after the game, we need to take the positives out of it. He's obviously media training, and that's what you've got to say after every defeat. But yeah, huge embarrassment for Southampton. Question marks will be now asked over whether they've done the right thing, not in necessarily sacking Nathan Jones, but potentially made a mess of finding an appointment. And they've got a massive game now coming up, haven't they, against Leicester at the weekend. I do want to give a shout out to Grimsby though, because they've beaten, is it 5 teams from higher levels to get this far? A League Two team in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup. I'm sure they would have preferred, to go to one of the two Manchester clubs or had a Premier League team at home. But Brighton away still, should be a really nice day out for Grimsby. I think they probably where the run ends. Brighton are a very good team this year. But Paul Hurst, a manager that has had many, many ups and downs. I mean, I remember watching his Shrewsbury team that had Dean Henderson in goal. Ben Godfrey was sitting just in front of the defence. And, he sort of earned a reputation at Shrewsbury, and that got him, big job, obviously, at Ipswich, and it went, horribly wrong for him there.
Big job?
Come on, Jack. Relatively speaking, in League One terms, that was a really big job. And, I think he was expected to do well, wasn't he? And it didn't work out for him there. He's sort of ended up all the way back at Grimsby. And maybe it's just, the right place for him, because it's where he started out. In terms of, you know, I'm not sure if he had sort of any smaller jobs before that, but it was where he first came to recognition, wasn't it? And, you know, worked his way up, and he's gone all the way back down to Grimsby. So really pleased for him. Seems like a nice guy. And so for him to, you know, lead a team to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, you know, that's a great achievement. So well done to Grimsby.
Absolutely. There weren't too many other shocks. So let's take a look at the for the draw for the quarterfinals. Manchester City, Burnley, United against Fulham, Brighton will play Grimsby that we've just mentioned, and then Sheffield United against Blackburn Rovers. And Mark, in terms of a draw, probably the least exciting one we could have got, really.
Yeah, you would have wanted Sheffield United v Blackburn. A shout out to Blackburn. They beat a changed Leicester team, didn't they? But still an achievement to knock out a Premier League team away from home.
Fourth in the Championship with a zero goal difference as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure that too many people had John Dale Thomason down as this manager that was going to make a significant difference, but he certainly is at the moment. But yeah, in terms of that quarterfinal draw, obviously Vincent Kompany going back to the Etihad is a great story. But you know, if it's at Turf Moor, there's more chance of an upset, and there's probably not much chance of an upset at the best of times. So, but it'll be interesting to see how, you know, Burnley, who you know do play a lot of possession-based football, how that actually sort of worked. So, at the Etihad, they're obviously beaten at Old Trafford earlier on in the season. I mean, you know, Fulham will feel like they've got a sniff, I suppose, at Old Trafford against United. But again, it's the sort of game where if it's at Craven Cottage, there is more chance of an upset. I expect Brighton to beat Grimsby pretty comfortably. And then that Sheffield United-Blackburn game, I mean, I suppose Sheffield United will be favourites because they're at home, but it doesn't appear to be a huge amount between the two teams. And what it does also mean is that the semi-finals, like I'm already thinking ahead, I don't know if they're going to be like absolutely amazing either. And, let's just hope that, you know, from a final point of view, I mean, I would like to see, Brighton or Fulham, but particularly Brighton, I think, getting there. Manchester United are outright selections, aren't they? So, I suppose the fact they're at home to Fulham can only be a good thing. You just want to avoid Man City. And I do want to say on the FA Cup, there are people saying, oh, what a great opportunity it was for Tottenham to win the FA Cup. I mean, I think great is overplaying the chances. When when Manchester City are still in the competition, it's not a great chance, is it? Because at some stage, somebody's got to knock them out. And, you know, that's not an easy task. So I don't think it was a great chance, just a good one missed.
Just to update you all on the current outright prices, Manchester City 11 to 10, United 9 to 4, Brighton 5s, Fulham 16s-ish going into that. Are you still happy with United as the selection, Mark?
Yeah, I am. I mean, you know, they're going to, you know, I suppose at some stage somebody's going to have to beat Man City. But they have shown that they can beat Man City at Old Trafford already. This season. So if the worst comes to the worst and they have to play them, hopefully they can. I suppose from just like a pure footballing point of view, I would say Brighton. I mean, we had a lot of games to choose from over Tuesday and Wednesday. And I don't think, had De Zerbi not been in charge of Brighton, I don't think I would have chose Stoke v Brighton on Tuesday night. But I did, just so I could watch his football in action. And it's absolute joy the way that they sort of start attacks and the amount of players they throw forward. So if Man United don't win it, hopefully Brighton do.
Let's take a look at the Premier League action, because we had games on Wednesday. Arsenal played Everton and Liverpool played Wolves. Which would you like to start with here, Mark, in terms of a little bit of an analysis?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there was only, I suppose, you know, from a sort of what it means for the bigger picture, there was only one place, wasn't there? The Emirates. At one stage, I did wonder whether, you know, Sean Dyche was going to set out and frustrate Arsenal. But as soon as the first goal goes in, you know, that game becomes much easier. Once again, it was Saka that was the difference maker, and Martinelli got a couple. I suppose from Arsenal's point of view, they'll be really pleased that Martinelli's sort of back amongst the goals, because I just felt like he needed a rest. He was given a breather, wasn't he, in the game at Villa, I think. And he just needed to be taken out. There's a lot of talk about who should be player of the season. I saw that, Saka was like 11-1 in a tweet from Free Super Tips earlier on this weekend. I mean, I just think Saka's the best, been sort of the, I suppose, best is hard to define, but I think he's been the most influential player in the Premier League this season. I mean, Haaland, he can win Golden Boot, but I don't think he's been the best player. Saka, his goals, his assists, what he's doing for Arsenal week after week, is, in my opinion, definitely player of the season.
Been really exciting, hasn't it? Just to touch on Liverpool, Mark, but it's been topsy-turvy for them and not too many ups. But a 2-0 win, and I suspect Liverpool fans will just be grateful that they've seen Liverpool win a game.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're right in the hunt, aren't they, for top four? I mentioned earlier on that they're sort of depressing.
It's remarkable, really, isn't it?
It is, still in the hunt.
How bad they've
really
been.
It really is. So they're... they 6 points behind Tottenham with a game in hand, and they've got Spurs still to play at Anfield. They'll be looking at Newcastle, thinking they're starting to slow down just a touch. You would expect Fulham sort of run not to last at the course of the next sort of 13 matches for them. Brighton have got quite a few games in hand, so you wouldn't want to absolutely dismiss their chances because of the way that they're playing. But yeah, I mean, I think Liverpool, given how bad they've been in many respects, would have settled for this position, with 14 games to go, that, it's not far short of being in their hands, really. And if they have a good end to the season, that they might still make it into the Champions League.
We'll be talking about Liverpool in our match of the day. Yeah, we've got Liverpool against Manchester United to look forward to this Sunday. Liverpool 6-4, United 7-4, 12-5 the draw this one, 4:30 on Sunday. Mark, things have changed a lot since these two teams last played. United were about 4-1, bigger than 4-1 in the reverse fixture in August. They were 6-1 to win at Anfield last season. They're 7-4 to win at Anfield this season. It shows that the progress under Ten Hag.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, confidence is absolutely flying at the moment. Won the EFL Cup, just knocked out West Ham with a couple of late goals in the FA Cup. And things have definitely changed, because I remember exactly where I was for the reverse fixture in August. I was at Sion Park in Tenerife.
Lovely.
Yeah, much better than where I am today. And then we'd had a full day at the water park, came back into the hotel room, grabbed a couple of takeaway beers and was watching. And it was beautiful. We had Sky Sports in
that's
our,
the life, isn't it?
In
Sky Sports in the room.
Yeah, I couldn't believe.
Oh,
I did. Yeah, I mean, I am. I digress. But so the first day we got there, one of the first things I do is just have a little flick through the TV channels just to see what we got. And we had Sky Sports Premier League, and that was the day that Spurs played Chelsea, was the day we arrived. So that was perfect. And then, Monday night, just watched Liverpool against Manchester United. And if you remember, United were in absolute crisis point at this stage. They'd been absolutely tonked by Brentford, beaten by Brighton. It was the old Eric 10 months, wasn't it? Rather than Ten Hag. And I remember Jamie Carragher did this piece on Lisandro Martinez and how, he'd never be able to make it in the Premier League and he couldn't play Ten Hag's football. They were in an absolute state, and they won the game, counter-attacking fashion, but such a big win, because if they would have lost that game, I mean, who's to say that the rest would have followed? Because I think that really bought Ten Hag, time and faith with the supporters and probably the players as well, that, maybe there is something here. And it was a big game. And now they go into it, as you read out the prices there, just only narrow underdogs at Anfield, which you would not have guessed back when I was sliding down various slides in Tenerife back in late August time.
Are you a lazy river man?
No, I don't mind the lazy river, but I do like water parks. Yeah, much better than sort of theme parks in general. And Sion Park's a good one. I wouldn't say it's as good as Volcano Bay at Universal in Orlando, but I think it's probably in the top three.
Well, I was hoping you were going to say that, Mark, because that's where I'm heading in a few weeks' time. I'm going to have a bit of an absence from Betts Club for a few weeks. I'll be sliding down some water slides in Florida. So very much looking forward to it. Whenever I say, Mark, that, you know, Liverpool are in, not crisis, but they've had a difficult season, you always back up with, well, they're good at home. And I guess that, you know, applies very much here.
Yeah, it does. The 2-0 win over Wolves, I think, will have just restored confidence. And, you know, it wasn't a very good game, was it, against Crystal Palace on last Saturday? But it was a clean sheet. So I think Jurgen Klopp will sort of take the positives out of that and you try to use it as a springboard for this game. But, yeah, I always feel like Liverpool at home is a different beast. And this game particularly, like you saw it, in the reverse game, United were in a mess, but they were able to use that home advantage, turn it into a, you know, derby pace, and the crowd are up for it and stuff like that. So I think that, Liverpool, even when Liverpool were not in good shape, I'm talking before Jurgen Klopp was at the club. Yeah, Gary Neville has spoken time and time again just about how difficult the trip to Anfield was, and I'm not expecting anything different despite the fact there isn't maybe as much riding on it for Liverpool as when they were going for those league titles. I think this is a really difficult game for a United team that's been on the go since the World Cup and need to pick it up again.
And it's interesting, Mark, isn't it, because taking that Real Madrid game aside, where they, you know, conceded five, the criticism of Liverpool this season has been around the defence. But last four Premier League fixtures, 2-0 win over Everton, 2-0 win over Newcastle, 0-0 against Palace, 2-0 win against Wolves. So four clean sheets in their last four games. Something must be changing in the defensive line.
Well, I mean, I think you could pick holes in that, couldn't you? Newcastle had 10 men and Alisson made some really good saves. Newcastle could have been up even before Liverpool scored, or certainly that first 20 minutes. You know, they were two down, Newcastle, and a player sent off and wasn't quite sure how it all happened, really. So Everton hit the post, didn't they? But I do think that there has been a change. Konate's back with Van Dijk. And you could argue now that is Liverpool's best centre-back pairing. They've only played together five times this season.
Wow.
And they've won four of those, including against Napoli and at home to Tottenham. And last season, they started 17 games together, 12 wins, four draws, one defeat. And the only loss was against Real Madrid in the Champions League final, when I don't think it was defensive errors that cost them that game. It was just Courtois had an unbelievable match, didn't he? So, I think that will be the sort of building block, really, from which Liverpool will try to launch this top four assault. They're likely to be out of the Champions League. No more domestic cup competitions. If they can keep Konate and Van Dijk together, that gives them a solid chance.
What's the bet for this game, Mark?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Liverpool draw no bet. I just think that in terms of Manchester United, they are going really well at the moment. And it is only one defeat in 22. But that was a very difficult game away to Arsenal. And, you know, this is a difficult away game. They've played 20 matches since the World Cup. And, you know, obviously you've had the two legs of the EFL Cup semi-final, the EFL Cup final, went the distance against West Ham on Wednesday. I just starting to wonder about them and whether, you know, this might just be one game too far for United. Obviously, had the double header against Barcelona as well, didn't they? So, really packed schedule. I think this is a difficult game at Anfield.
OK, let's get into the rest of the Premier League card. We'll start Saturday, 12:30, Manchester City against Newcastle. Talk me through this one.
Yeah, I mean, Newcastle need to lift themselves, don't they, after that EFL Cup final defeat. Big day out for the, or big weekend out for the fans of Newcastle. Took over London on sort of the Saturday evening. And then had the day out at Wembley. Didn't think there was much in that game. Unfortunate to lose 2-0. It was
sort of killed for the second half, wasn't it, really?
It did, yeah. When you look at it, it's a set piece and a heavily deflected goal that's taken it away from them. How they react to that, though, I'm not so sure. It's now five without a clean sheet for Newcastle. So I'm going to go for Man City to win and over 2.5 goals. That's happened in 9 of their 11 home games in the Premier League for Manchester City. So Newcastle, not quite as tight at the back these days, but might still offer something on the counter-attack. And, you know, City never really truly fancy them for a clean sheet, I don't think.
Let's take a look at Arsenal-Bournemouth. Can Arsenal continue winning at the top of the table?
Yeah, I mean, this should be easy enough. I mean, when they would have looked at the fixtures a couple of weeks ago, they would have, you know, seen Everton on the Wednesday at home, Bournemouth on the Saturday at home. It's a feels like a nice 6 points, isn't it? They've got 3 of those. I think it'll be a really easy game. What I would say is that Bournemouth's attacking sort of XG data has improved recently, you know, from a low point, but it's, I think, a total of 6 in their last 5 games, which is still not amazing. But given the games were against Brighton, Newcastle and Man City, it's not too bad. Like I say, particularly from where they were. I'm just going to go for Arsenal. I'd split stakes on correct score. Arsenal 3-0 and 3-1. It should be routine.
Okay. Villa Palace up next.
Yeah, surprised myself with this selection, but both teams to score, which has happened in the last 7 Aston Villa home games. And Everton had 5 shots on target, despite that 2-0 win at Goodison last week. And Everton have not got much up front at all. So Unai Emery is somebody that's known for his defensive work, but might need the summer to sort out that sort of Villa defence and that balance, really, of how the team will go. Crystal Palace, very strange team. They've only won 1 of their last 13 games in all competitions, and that was against Bournemouth. But it's 5 draws in 6. And, you know, if you have a look at sort of the schedule, I mean, they've drawn with Man United, Newcastle, Brighton, Brentford and Liverpool. Not sure they've deserved many of those, but, you know, they do find a way of staying in games. So, yeah, both teams to score.
You mentioned how sweet and how much you're enjoying watching Brighton this season, Mark. They take on West Ham this weekend. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I thought that Brighton were a fair enough bet. You know, that defeat to Fulham was a real sucker punch last week. I mean, look at the stats, 21-5 in Brighton's favour, 7-2 the shots on target, 66% possession. If they do that in this, you know, sort of in most of their home games, they're going to win more than they lose. You know, it was just one of them things that they lost against Fulham. West Ham, you know, at one stage felt like maybe they were going to go through in the FA Cup against Manchester United. But I think that 4-0 against Nottingham Forest, 4 goals in a really short burst of time, you know, it's a tight game for a long period. And I still can't get that performance they put in at Spurs out of my head, really. And so away from home, I'm not sure I can trust them. So Brighton, you know, I think Brighton are a very good team. And so, happy to back them.
Do you want to talk about Graham Potter anymore, or do you think we've done that conversation enough now?
Yeah, it's quite difficult, isn't it, with Graham Potter, because I think right at the very start, wondered whether he had the personality to manage Chelsea. And so I still think those question marks are there. You know, he sort of just comes into a press conference on a Friday and apologises. And then at a weekend, he's apologising as well. Just lacks the charisma, I think, really, to kind of own it and to really feel like he's managing Chelsea. And he's got this sort of, you know, he's got that Jurgen Klopp kind of stature, or, you know, Pep Guardiola. He just hasn't got that, has he, really? Or even like a nasty sort of Diego Simeone streak about him where he starts tearing into people. So I think that was always a question mark about Graham Potter. In terms of whether he should be given more time, I actually feel like there is a case to be said that he does deserve until the end of the season to see whether he can show signs that he's building something, because it's not an easy job when you've brought in these amount of players that, all despite their talent, it's just, you know, he'll be going around just wondering what all the strengths are and like the combinations of what's his best centre back pairing, what's his best wingers, like that takes time, I think. Now, we're not seeing any improvement, or certainly not enough improvement in style of play at the moment. If I was Todd Boehly, I think I'd almost now consider this season a total write-off. If Potter shows signs that he's getting it right by the end of the campaign, then maybe stick by him. But Yeah, he could have no complaints if they cut him loose net between now and the end of the season.
You would feel, though, that this is a good opportunity for Potter to just try and get a win on the board at home. But it's not going to be that easy.
No, well, it was the same against Southampton, wasn't
exactly,
it?
Yeah.
And even against Spurs, you know, didn't create anything. It was just all in front of Tottenham last week. I'm going to go for under 2.5 goals in this game. Chelsea, 13 of their last 15 matches have been unders. And I think there is a question mark over, you know, Potter's style, because Brighton similarly, you know, didn't look threatening enough despite playing good football. The problem at Chelsea is they're not really playing great football either. But yeah, 13 of 15 been unders. The two that were overs, one they had a player sent off, João Felix at Fulham, and the other was when he played a weakened team at City in the FA Cup. And Leeds, in their last 8 games against Premier League opponents, they've scored 4 goals. No surprise that Javi Garcia has tried to tighten them up. And, you know, this might be a slog for Chelsea and their supporters. And I don't think it's going to take much for the supporters to turn on Potter. And that's probably not going to help create an environment for the team to play free-flowing football.
Really difficult times for Graham Potter at Chelsea. Let's take a look at Wolves against Spurs. It sounds like you've perked up a little bit throughout the show, Mark. So I'm hoping that
podcast therapy.
Exactly. How do you see Spurs getting on this weekend?
Yeah, I wanted to take Tottenham on, but the market doesn't rate Spurs very highly. I mean, you can in the cheap seats and right and all. But, you know, they even went off underdogs against Chelsea. I mean, when we previewed that game, Tottenham were favourites last Thursday. By kickoff, the market moved fully in Chelsea's favour. I mean, I thought Spurs deserved to beat Chelsea and play reasonably well, as they did against West Ham. So maybe the Bramall Lane exit was a blip. They will have their strongest sort of team back out there that's available. Obviously, Bentancur and Lloris are among those injured. And I think that will make a difference. But I was going to go for a draw in this game. You know, Wolves had that revival immediately when Lopetegui come in. I don't know if they've just sort of lost their way again, just slightly. Obviously, were defeated by Bournemouth, you know, before that. They had the draw with Fulham, which maybe, I think that was about right. They maybe edged it and deserved to win. But, you know, that Southampton game, they won with 10 men. It was a bit of a fluke win, though, I think, in summary respects. You know, so, yeah, I'm not sure where I am with Wolves. I was really positive on them a few weeks ago. I'm just sort of downgrading them slightly at the moment. And a trip to Anfield on Wednesday and the game on the Saturday is not ideal. You know, Tottenham did rest more players, didn't they? So, yeah, the draw in what might be a game where both teams feel like it's not a bad result either.
OK, let's move on to the evening game on Saturday, Southampton against Leicester. Southampton desperately need wins at this stage, Mark. We talked about their game, previewing it, their game against Leeds. They lost that. They've lost in the Cup. They take on Leicester this weekend.
Yeah, and I don't think they'll get it. In fact, you know, I like Leicester just to win the game, but it is with an asterisk that if James Maddison is available. James Maddison missed that game against Arsenal, and then they put in no kind of show in that match. Then, of course, went out of the FA Cup to Blackburn that we've already discussed. Last 8 games with James Maddison starting, Leicester's form is 6 wins in that time. They've lost 2 games. Those 2 defeats were against Man United and Man City, and I felt they played quite well against United at Old Trafford, at least in the first half. So one of the most important players to a team, I think, in the league. And if he's available, I'll go for a Leicester win.
Okay, another big one in terms of the relegation battle. Sunday, 2 o'clock, Forest against Everton. It's really tightening up at the bottom now. I mean, Forest are 13th on 25 points. Everton currently in the relegation zone, 18th, but just 4 points behind Forest. All to play for here.
Massive, massive game. Really, you know, it's a super Sunday, isn't it? You know, you've got obviously your classic game with Liverpool against United. But in terms of, you know, how much is riding on the game, this feels equally as big, if not more important. I mean, there's still a long way to go this season, isn't it? I think because we're in March, we're almost sort of I feel like the season's coming towards an end. But there's still a lot of points to play for, but it does feel like a massive game. I'm going to go for the draw because I could sense this. If this is like level after 60 minutes, does either team risk enough to win it, fearing losing it? Because defeat really, is going to have severe consequences, or potentially anyway. But if you look at Forest, one defeat in 11 at home, none in the Premier League since mid-September. So they are doing well at the City Ground. It does make me nervous, though, for sort of backing a team like that, that, you know, they're so bad away from home. And you just wonder if that equals it, you know, evens itself out over the course of a season. And then I looked a bit deeper at their home form. They have actually only scored 7 goals in their last 7 home matches. So they've been, from the goal scored, they've been maximising their points return. And it doesn't take much for those tight games just to flip. And as far as Everton are concerned, season won't be decided by games that they lost at, against Arsenal and against Liverpool as well, away from home. Expecting them to keep it tight. Have they got enough up front to nick it? I'm not so sure. So I think it could be a grind in terms of like actually free-flowing football, but the importance of the game makes it a must-watch.
Yeah, absolutely huge. Really looking forward to that one. We've also got Monday Night Football to look forward to. Brentford against Fulham, two of the success stories of Championship promotion teams over the last couple of seasons here.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people felt like Fulham would be the yo-yo team, but Marco Silva has done something really, he's done some strong work there.
Really impressive.
And I don't think either team necessarily plays the most beautiful, free-flowing football. And Brentford have been direct at times this season, but they play to their strengths. Ivan Toney, while he's still available to them, we know he's set for a ban in, I think I read somewhere it was likely to be in April, that's likely to be heard. They'll have to strike while he's still around. But I thought that Fulham here were just being underrated. So I was going to go for Fulham or draw, double chance. I mean, Brentford, I think some books are going sort of even money, maybe even a little bit of odds on. And Fulham, 2 defeats in 14. Those losses were 1-0 against Newcastle and Tottenham. They're a difficult team to put away. And, Brentford, I actually prefer Brentford when they're playing against teams where they're able to frustrate, run the clock down, do all the kind of, dark arts that they are capable of. And whether they're able to unlock Fulham, I'm not so sure.
There we go then. That's your Premier League card marked. Let's take a look at the EFL with Dan Childs.
And now we're joined by Dan Childs at the Racing Post to give all of these best bets for the EFL this weekend. How are you, Childsy?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, thanks. Yeah.
Okay, we won't mention Spurs. It's been done to death on this podcast already. How many bets have you got for us this week?
Yeah, got 3 this week, 1 from the Championship and 2 down in League 2.
All right, let's start in the Championship then.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a team actually that I put up last week that didn't get the job done. I'm going to go with them again, which is Watford at home to Preston. Watford they lost 1-0 at Sheffield United last week to a bit of a bizarre own goal, really, from Porteous, who's actually settled in really well at Watford, been a good player. But it was a tight game and they've been playing a lot better in general lately. They got a 1-1 draw at Burnley, 1-3-2 at home to West Brom. So they've had 3 very tough games, got a win, a draw and a loss, narrow loss out of those 3 games. And they're looking a lot better with key men like João Pedro, Ken Semmer, Imran Loser, all fully fit now. They look a much stronger team than they were, say in January when they were going to Norwich with about 16 players unavailable. And that's not even an exaggeration, 16 players. And now they're looking a lot stronger. And they've got an easier month coming up now, starting with a home game against Preston, who are 12th in the Championship. Watford are 4 points off the playoffs, so they do need to take advantage of this easier run and pile the points up. But a shade of odds on here, I think they're really a decent bet when you look at what they've got going forward with the likes of Pedro, Keenan Davis, Ismaila Sarr, really, it's, you know, potentially one of the best forward lines in the division. Preston on a bit of a dodgy run at the moment, one win in seven. That win was a 2-1 success at home to Wigan, who are bottom of the table. And even that victory, they were 1-0 down and got a very fortunate penalty award that helped them turn the game around in the second half. So I'm not sure Preston are, you know, looking so good at the moment, struggling a bit for goals without Emil Rees, who's been injured for a while. And I can't see him keeping a clean sheet against that Watford attack. So Watford to win this one.
OK, and then there are two in League Two. Going for Gillingham again?
Not going for Gillingham, no. I should have done last week because they did win this last weekend. But no, going to go for Leighton Orient. Leaders Leighton Orient in League Two at home to 10th place Swindon. You might think that they'll be, you know, at a very short price. They're not. They're just a shade of odds on Leighton Orient. And I think that's a really solid bet. I mean, they had that winter wobble, didn't they, after Christmas, where they won one of seven games. They put that well behind them now. They've taken 14 points from the last six games. Their home record, 13 wins in 17, is the best in the division. Really strong side. Paul Smythe has been on the bench last couple of games. He was out injured, part of the reason for their wobble that they had, but he's now back in the mix, who's, I would say, is the best winger in League Two by distance. And they're playing a Swindon team that under Jody Morris, they had a bit of a mixed start. They lost three in a row, then they won the last two games. But they're looking a little bit threadbare at the back for me, Swindon. Kieran Brennan was injured in last Saturday's 3-0 win at home to Harrogate. Fraser Blake Tracy, who's a really key defender, he's out as well. So to go to Leighton Orient with a bit of a threadbare defence, I think it's bad news. Orient to win this one.
Yeah, I mean, Orient, sort of in that winter wobbles, just kept on having players sent off, if I remember right.
Yeah, there was no sort of luck on their side during that spell. And as I said, they're often having key players missing. So, yeah, understandable.
OK, so we're keeping it in the M25 with Watford and Leighton Orient. And have you got another team from the south in to complete
actually,
this treble?
I'm not even sure if this is in the M25 or not. But it must be closer. It's Sutton United at home to Crewe. Yeah, I'm going to go.
I don't know that. I know the other way of the M25 more than that way. But yeah, Sutton, still a team in the south.
Yeah, fans. I mean, Sutton, they had a lot of injuries. I mean, they're now on the verge of the playoffs in League Two for a club of their size, which is fantastic. Playing at home to Crewe, who are 17th, probably not going to go down, but they're certainly not going to be, you know, threatening anywhere near the playoffs. And Sutton, I mean, he operates with a small squad there, Matt Gray, and they had loads and loads of injuries earlier in the season, and they struggled because of that. But they've got those players back, and they've come on incredibly strong since Christmas. They've got 24 points from 11 games since Christmas, which is a fantastic run. They've got the third best home record in the division. Very tough to play against at Gander Green Lane, where they go quite direct and really put it on teams. David Adjaboy has come back on loan from Peterborough in the January window. He's offering them another dimension as well going forward. They don't score loads of goals. Sutton, a sort of bizarre stat is that they haven't scored more than two goals in any game this season, which is a real strange one. But I don't think they're going to need more than two to beat Crewe, who, another bizarre stat, they've not scored more than one in 29 of their last 32 matches. So Crewe are very, very low scorers, third lowest scorers in the division. They were held last week to a 1-1 draw by Rochdale, and that match was played at Crewe. I mean, that's a poor result, and I think they'll struggle to cope with a much tougher opponent this weekend.
OK, well, thanks, Dan. And on that question of whether Surrey's in the M25, it skirts the south of the borough, and there's a lot of debate online as to whether it's London or Surrey. So there you go. I think it's one
right
of those.
But we still don't know where it's in the M25.
No, I think it's just outside. But so we're going for Sutton United. We're going for Leighton Orient and Watford. Thanks, Dan.
You're welcome.
Great to hear from Dan as always. Mark, a lot of motorway chat there. What's your favourite?
I don't like any of them. I'm not. Some people love driving, don't they? I just see it as a means to an end. Really, it's just
people get really passionate about service stations, don't they?
I prefer to let the train take the strain wherever possible.
Oh my goodness, what a poet you are. Let's get some best bets for this weekend then, and we'll start with your prop shop.
Yeah, Dejan Kulusevski of Tottenham to have a shot on target.
He's
only had one in his last five Premier League games, so that stat isn't great. But before that, in five Premier League games in a row, he had had a shot on target. So it's probably a bit of randomness both ways. But, you know, for a game that Tottenham are favourites for, he was rested at Bramall Lane. And you look at the price of the other forwards within that Tottenham lineup. He's a sort of bigger price than Richarlison, Son, Kane to have shot on target. I don't really see that he should be that far away from any of them guys. So, yeah, he's about 5-6. So that looked fair enough to me.
OK, good stuff. A long shot.
Bologna to win at Torino in Serie A. Thiago Motta having a very good season as the Bologna coach. He's got 4 wins in his last 5. That includes away to Fiorentina and at home to Inter. Fairly big price at Torino, who've conceded at least twice in 4 of their last 6.
Let's get a treble for this weekend.
Sheffield Wednesday to beat Peterborough. Hopefully Sheffield Wednesday do win League One. That was one of my sort of anti-post bets. Going very well at the moment. Peterborough tend to struggle in these big away games. They've lost away to all 8 matches they've played away to top half opponents. And, you know, the league table says Sheffield Wednesday are the best of them all. We're going for Leicester. Draw no bet at Southampton. I just want the draw on my side until I know that Maddison is available. It does sound like he'll be fit. I just think we can forgive Leicester last couple against in the league against Manchester United and Arsenal. Much tougher games. Before that, I'd sort of seen signs of recovery there. And then to round it all off, I just felt that Brentford were too short against a Fulham team that's difficult to put away. So Fulham or draw double chance. So it's Fulham or draw double chance. Leicester draw no bet. Sheffield Wednesday to beat Peterborough.
Okay, great stuff. And what's your strongest bet of the week?
Leicester draw no bet against Southampton. And I'd be more confident, I keep repeating myself here, but if Maddison's back, that does make a significant difference. But you know, I just think
you back them just to win if Maddison's fit?
I think from a sort of best bet of the week point of view, I'd always rather just keep the draw on side. But I think you could make a case for saying that they are a good enough bet. I mean, it was only a couple of weeks ago they went to Villa Park and won by 4-2. And they beat Spurs 4-1. And then now they've just had a bit of a wobble again. But I think there have been excuses, not only Maddison, rested players against Blackburn in the cup, and the other 2 games against United and Arsenal are, you know, obviously much more difficult than Southampton, who, you've got somebody in charge that we still don't know if he's any good as a manager, a disengaged fan base, a demoralised team. I think it's a good opportunity for Leicester. Might not put, 9 on them or whatever it was. When they won at St Mary's previously. I can't remember the exact score when Arsene Wenger was in charge. But, it might not be that embarrassing, but I do fancy Leicester.
OK, great stuff. Thanks to Mark. Thanks to Dan, as always, for their insight into this weekend's football. I hope you all enjoyed the show. Please remember that both Dan and Mark put up a lot of selections in this show. Please don't feel the need to back them all. We'll be back next Thursday for another episode of Mark Langdon's Bet.